For just a few minutes this morning, I want to draw your attention to the manger. And when you think of a manger, traditionally we think of this wood structure with four legs to it. And when we were looking for a manger this past week to use as an illustration, we got one out of the closet and Pastor Anthony said, but I don't know, they had treated lumber back then. But nonetheless, for just a few minutes this morning, I want to use the imagery of the four legs of the manger to share with you four truths about our Savior and how those truths affect us, each and every one of us. The birth of Jesus sheds light on a very dark world, teaching us about promise, about posture, about peace, and about purpose. The manger itself contains the gospel, and his name is Emmanuel. The first leg is promise. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Every single promise. Jesus is the fulfillment of all promises. All of God's promises are yes in Christ. The promise of a Savior is yes. The promise of salvation is yes. The promise of freedom is yes. The promise of an abundant life is yes. The number of promises that God demonstrates through the Word of God is astounding. The birth of Jesus promised in Isaiah, and it says in Galatians 4:4, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. His timing is impeccable. He's never too early. He's never too late. When the set time had arrived, at the very moment Jesus was born. God's promises and timing of those promises are part of what gives us hope. In fact, in Acts 1:7, it reminds us that the time and seasons of this life are given by the authority of God. First, there's the leg of promise. And now, there's the second leg of posture. The posture of humility is revealed starting with the manger and it ends at the cross. And every moment in between in Jesus' life, Jesus certainly had what we might call a humble beginning. The humble posture of Jesus did not ascend from the moment of his birth. Like others who begin with this humble beginning, we hear these stories and they had a humble beginning and then they go to greatness or accomplishment or all these wonderful things they go on to in life. Not so with Jesus. His humble beginning was the start of a descent. The manger was a scene of a descending Savior, meaning his life did not get better, it did not get easier. He did not escape his humble beginning to a life of success and an achievement that he would become known for. His life went from humble beginnings to a descent leading him to the cross with his arms stretched wide, shedding his blood for our redemption. His posture of humility from birth to death was a message of hope for the broken and the lonely and the hurting. In his humility, he was loving and kind and he was compassionate. Offering salvation through grace to those who didn't deserve it and mercy to those who deserved eternal separation through spiritual death. Everything about Jesus' birth is based on humility. God promises he will meet us in the most desolate of places because he has been there and he knows what it's like to be alone. He promises to search out the lost, the hurting, the abandoned, because he knows what it feels like to be mocked and shamed and ridiculed. His humility is inviting, and humility invites us to know him, to live for him, to spend eternity with him, all because of his humility. So first there's the leg of promise, the second of posture, and now there's a third leg, and it's peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." God stepped into time because of a promise with a posture of humility as the Prince of Peace. Jesus, lying in a manger, as the only one who could bring true peace. All other offers of peace have strings attached. And because of his peace, there was also restoration and redemption and reconciliation between you and God, between me and God. He came as an answer to this restless heart. His peace offers relief from an otherwise anxious heart. His peace calms the unknowns of life. Most of us have had a chance, I did this morning actually, most of us had a chance to peek in on a sleeping baby or an infant, and whether yours or somebody else's, and in this case it was somebody else's, but just the peace that they have, the calmness that they have, the content that they have. The Prince of Peace is the only answer to the unrest, to expectations and failures and the weariness of life. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want to ask you, are you tired? Are you worn out? Jesus says, come to me. Another way to say it is, get away with me and you'll recover life. Walk with me and learn the rhythms of grace. Stay close to me and you'll learn to live peacefully, free. He who was born the Prince of Peace invites us to a life of peace. So we have the leg of the manger that was promise, posture, peace, and now the fourth leg is purpose. Jesus was born with purpose running through his veins. He never strayed from it and was always mindful of it. The purpose of his birth was death. He didn't come to this earth to make a name for himself. He already had a name, Savior. His purpose gives us purpose. From Abraham to the Messiah, God uses flawed people. You can read all throughout Scripture, the lost, the hurting people, to carry out this mission of saving the world. All four legs of the manger invite salvation, his promise, his posture, his peace, and his purpose. In just a second, we're gonna have Bryce and Pastor Craig come up, and Bryce is gonna share a very powerful testimony. And I would imagine that possibly after his testimony and after all of what you've heard this morning, there may be some of you who have questions, questions about salvation, questions about following Christ. I would encourage you, hey, find me, find Pastor Anthony, find Pastor Craig, find a pastor, find the person who brought you here. If nothing else, call the office tomorrow and say, I need to talk. I'm missing a relationship with Christ. What does this mean? I'd love to sit down and talk with you. Our purpose is found through salvation in Jesus. Only then can we know and live a life of purpose. I want to invite up Pastor Craig and Bryce Fountain. Bryce will share a testimony. And I think if you listen really closely, you're going to hear the threads of promise, the four legs of promise, posture, peace, and purpose.
All right, we're up here.
Made it.
Bryce, we've gotten to know each other probably for the last 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell us, start with your growing up years. What was life like, family like, when you were young?
Sure. So I was born in Rockford, Illinois. I got two sisters, one older, one younger. And kind of grew up in a troubled home. My parents were always fighting, sometimes physical, sometimes not. And so it caused them to split up and get back together, and they were always trying to work things out. But anyway, we ended up moving a lot. By the time I was in the eighth grade, I went to a new school every single year, and I went to three different high schools. So probably around the second grade or so, my parents dropped me off at my grandparents for the summer, and there was like a family revival going on. And my grandparents and my aunts and uncles were just going on about Jesus, and it was just it was the energy in the house. And my grandparents asked me if I wanted to be saved and if I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I did. Then, you know, sometime later after that, after that summer, we, parents came and got us, and then sometime later they split up again, and, we moved in with my Aunt Chrissy, and she was just an amazing, God, Jesus-loving person, and she was just so much fun. And she used to teach us songs about putting on the armor of God, and it's just really great. But things dissolved between my mom and her sister, so we moved away sometime after that, and then we moved to Florida, and we were living in a pretty beat up trailer park, and all the people there pretty much lived, you know, paycheck to paycheck. And there was this really nice man named Mr. Bagel Man. Nobody knew that. That's just what we called him. And one of the times that he came over, he invited me over to hang out with his kid. And I got to see the inner workings of a Christian family and how peaceful and assured and just secure they were. And it was just really nice to see that. Many years later, we move again, and I'm in the eighth grade. And this is when I kind of fell in a rougher crowd, started smoking marijuana. And I think I was just looking for acceptance, value. It's just kind of what I was searching for, I think. And then by the time I was a senior in high school, I was using coke, ecstasy, pain pills. And then by the time I was 20, I was a full-blown opiate addict. And then I just couldn't keep up with it. I had no money all the time. And somebody introduced me to meth. And as crazy as it sounds, I used meth to quit opiates. Then a year after I was using meth, I landed in the ICU. I hadn't eaten or drinking anything in 2 or 3 days. So apparently my potassium was very low and I was extremely dehydrated. And all the muscles in my body locked up, including my heart. And everybody at work thought I was having a stroke. And I remember thinking that I'm gonna die. And I was afraid because I thought, I'm gonna go to hell. Because I haven't been following God and I'm just doing whatever I want. And you think that would be enough to, you know, scare you straight. But that was just the beginning of the next 10 years of addiction. Then I finally reached a point in my life where I was just completely empty. And the thing that made me happy and my escape was no longer an escape. It had become my prison.
At that point, you were married.
Yes, I'm married. I have two kids at this point, and I feel like I'm failing my kids, and I drug my wife into the pit with me because she was addicted too. And I just felt completely empty. And I just remember sitting there crying, and I just wish I had never, I just wanted to go back and wish I had never done all the things I ever did. And then I remembered God. It was like a tap on the shoulder. And then in that moment, I cried out to God, and this incredible presence just ran over me. And I didn't audibly hear a voice, but in my mind, I heard someone else's voice say, "Yes, I will." And it wasn't a magic wand. I didn't just quit right that second. I finished what I had, and then finally the drugs left my body, and I was ready to make good on that promise that I entered in with the Lord. And so then from there, I start reading the Bible, and it is just tearing me wide open. I was just enthralled reading this and finding out about Jesus, and you know, he's a friend of a sinner. I'd never heard that. And then from there, I ended up catching a couple episodes of the Christian Worship Hour on the weekend, and then that's when I knew I had to find a church family. And I had been talking with a new trainee at our work, Brandon Anderson, and he's like, you should really come to Bethel. And I took him up on his offer, and I heard Pastor Andy get and the worship music being dissected with scripture and explained. I'd never heard or seen anything like that before. And then baptisms roll around. And right when I saw that, I was crying tears of joy. It was just an amazing thing watching people do that. And then that's when I knew that I needed to do that. So over the course of the next year, Brandon Anderson and I, we started our own garage door company, On Track Garage Door, and I reconnected with my mother, and I started attending men's discipleship group classes here. And it was just in a really incredible high point. I didn't feel like, I just felt invincible. And then baptisms rolled around, and then I probably had 15 of my family members and friends and my mom included, and it was just an incredible experience. And then 3 weeks after that, my mother died in a homeless shelter from meth toxicity. And then 10 months after that, my dad died from mesothelioma, and he fought really hard for about a year, and he became so weak and frail, and it was just very difficult to watch that. But I got some really, really good time with him, and got to talk to God, got to talk about God with him, and that was just really great to have that.
I remember God was really faithful to you in that really difficult time.
Yeah, it was very difficult because I kind of reverted to some old mindsets where I just keep your head down and just keep going forward. And I just felt like I really wasn't dealing with it. And he just kept sending, people to encourage me, including, the men's discipleship group class. And it was just really incredible to have that.
We talked a little bit, or you shared some things you'd just like to share with people from what you've learned and from what God has done in your life.
Yes. So I'm just hoping that if there's someone in the audience who's in despair, anyone, just reach out. It's real. Just try. There might be something inside you saying, just be quiet and stay the course, but just try and reach out. And for the believers in the room, you might be that grandparent or that fun aunt, or maybe you're Mr. Bagel Man. I don't know, but keep planting seeds and do the watering. Yeah.
There's a verse you shared with me that's really special to you that really just describes what God has done. Why don't you share that with us as we close?
Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come.